Hi, my name's Chris Pels. In this video, we're going to look at how to pre-compile an ASP.NET website. Now, when you're finished development on your ASP.NET website and you want to deploy it, you essentially have two major options. One is you could use xcopy and copy all of the website files out to your production server. And then what would happen is the first time someone visits the site, the source code files would be compiled, loaded into memory, and cached. The other option is you can actually pre-compile the site before you deploy it. And this has a couple of advantages. One is that with the source code files being pre-compiled, the first time someone visits the site, you don't incur the overhead of the source code files actually being compiled at that point in time. The other is that because the source code is compiled, it's a little more secure since you don't have the actual source code files out there on the production server. Now, to get started, what I've done is created a sample website here for us to deploy. It's called Website VB. It's got a couple ASPX files. Each one has a code behind file. There's also a README file, web.config, as well as a default theme, which has a cascading style sheet and a skin file. So now that we're done with this site and we want to deploy it, we've decided that we want to pre-compile it rather than use the xcopy approach that I talked about previously. In order to do that, there's a tool up here on the build menu called Publish Website. So when we open that up, it gives us a dialog window with a couple options. First is to specify the target location where the output of the compilation process will be located. And what I've done here is I've already put in a path, a folder called deploy batch, because we're going to look at several options here for pre-compiling the site. So you can see here in our dialog window we have three options. One says allow this pre-compiled site to be updatable, use fixed naming in single page assemblies, and enable strong naming on pre-compiled assemblies. And for the first pass, what we're going to do is not check any of these options. And we're going to run the compilation process with this publish website tool. And we'll do that, look at the output, and I'll explain, start to explain at least what the differences are between that and choosing some of these other options. So go ahead and click OK. We'll let the build process start. And then once it's built, it's going to publish it. And we can see down here in the status bar at the lower left that the publishing process has been successful. So now let's flip over and look at the folder for the output. And the first one we did is called deploy batch. So let's go in there. In the root of the website, it looks pretty much like our website in the Solution Explorer. Let me move this window to the left a little bit so you can compare what we have in the right in the Solution Explorer and here in the folder. So these files look like they're the same. We have a new file here called precompiledapp.config, and that was inserted, and it contains some configuration information about the precompiled site. So when .NET loads it, or ASP.NET, and .NET loads it, it reads this information and is able to determine how to access the files in the website based upon the precompilation process. Now, if we go into one of these ASPX files, let's just pick default ASPX and open that up, what we're going to see is that this file is a bit different than the default ASPX file that we have over in the website. And as is some text that says this is a marker file generated by the precompilation tool and should not be deleted. So in essence, what's going on here is the ASPX files, even though they exist in name, actually don't have anything in them. They're just entry points so that when someone browses to default ASPX, there is an entry point in ASP.NET, but there really isn't anything in the ASPX file. What's happened is, if we go down here into the bin folder, you'll see that we have the compiled output files here. And in this particular case, here we have a file default ASPX, and this is the compiled code corresponding to the default ASPX file. So what would have happened had we navigated to default ASPX on this site is it would have gone to the actual default ASPX in the root, which is essentially just a marker, and then it would have been redirected, so to speak, internally in .NET down to all the compiled code that's here in this compiled file in the bin folder. And if you look at what files are here in the bin folder, it's important to note, I should say, which ones are here in the bin folder, because this will be one of the differences between the different options in the pre-compilation process. So essentially what we've got here are files corresponding, I should say, compiled files corresponding to our ASPX files. And then we have one assembly that corresponds to the app theme folder. And since we have just one theme in there, we have a compiled file down here at the bottom of the list that represents our default theme. So what will happen in this so-called batch process where it's compiling the entire site is that it takes everything in the theme directory and compiles it into one DLL. And then also you see here we have an app web assembly, and this represents all of the compiled code in our entire website. So in essence, this is our compiled site. We would deploy the entire contents of this folder out to our production server. Let's go back over to Visual Studio and let's look at some of the other options. So go back up here into our Publish Website tool. And this time what we're going to do is, instead of batch, let me change the folder where the output will be located to one called Updatable. And then we'll check this first option here, which says allow this precompiled site to be updatable. Now, one of the things to point out about that first site that we compiled is that the entire site is compiled into that single assembly. And let me go back over to that quickly and just look at that to show you it again. So down here, the entire website is compiled into this one assembly, so that if we want to update the site, we'd have to recompile the entire site and send all of the files from that compiled output over to the production server. So now, back in Visual Studio, what we're going to do is allow this precompiled site to be updatable. Let's run that. It's going to build and publish it, and then we'll go over and take a look at the files. So it's all done. Back over, and let's go up. And we'll go over and down into the updatable folder. So now the root of this looks essentially the same, exactly the same as the previous one, where we have a precompiled app.config and all the other files that are in our website. However, when we go into default ASPX here, let's edit it. We'll just open it quickly in Notepad. And notice that this is very different than the file we saw for our batch compile. In that, remember, in the batch compile, it just had a comment at the top that says, this file is a marker, please don't delete it. Whereas here, we actually have all of the HTML that's in default ASPX is still in default ASPX. And this is the major difference with updatable versus non-updatable. So that each of our ASPX files has the actual HTML in it. And if we go down into the bin folder, we see that what's happened here is the entire site, the themes, the ASPX file, code behinds, etc., has been compiled into a single assembly. So what you can do here with an updatable site, and what that means is that you can update the user interface, the UI aspect of your site, essentially the HTML in the ASPX files, but you cannot update the code behind files, because the code behind files are inside of that single assembly that we just saw in the bin folder. So what we could do here is we could go back, we can make a change to default ASPX, maybe put another paragraph tag in there, and then we could copy the ASPX file out to our production server and overwrite default ASPX, but we could not change the logic in the code behind file that corresponds to default ASPX. So like the first batch compile, this one is ready to be deployed out to our production server, and all we'd have to do is copy the entire contents of this folder that contains the output of our pre-compilation process out to our production server. So let's go back over to Visual Studio and look at the next option. So we'll go back into our Published Website tool, and this time let me uncheck Precompiled. Let's go out and change the target folder, and we can use one called Fixed Name. And then we'll go down here and we're going to check the second option, which says Use Fixed Name and Single Page Assemblies. So let's run the compilation process. I'll click OK. And probably the best way to understand what this option does is, again, to look at the output of it. Okay, it's all done. Let's flip back over and take a look at it. So this is in the folder called Deploy Fixed Name. And when we go in here, we see that the same files in the root. But let's take a look inside the ASPX file again. We'll use default ASPX as we did with the other two. And this one looks much like the first operation, which I called the batch operation. And essentially, it batches all of the compilation together. It's just a marker file that points to the compiled file, which is in the bin folder. So let's go into the bin folder, take a look. And here we have something similar to the batch, but a bit more files here. And what has happened here is that we have an assembly that corresponds to each one of our pages. So you can see default, deploy one, etc. And then it's very similar to the batch pre-compilation in that we have an assembly that represents our app theme folder. We have one theme, so we have one compiled file corresponding to our theme, and we have compiled files that correspond to each of our pages. Now, the advantage of this approach, called the fixed name single assembly approach, is that we can actually change a portion of our website and deploy the updated assemblies. So, for example, we could change default ASPX and the code behind default ASPX, rerun the compilation process, and actually only have to change the assemblies here that correspond to default ASPX. And this is a little bit different than what we saw in the last option, which was make the website updatable. And remember, when you make the website updatable, the only thing you can change is the UI aspect. So by having single names, we still can't change the UI only for a single page, but we can change the single page code behind or HTML, recompile it, and put it out to our production server. So what this allows you is a bit more granularity in terms of making changes to your site and then going back out and updating the production server. You don't have to recompile the entire site and deploy the entire site out to the production server. You can do it on a more granular basis. Now, one of the things you do have to consider here in this approach is the number of pages in your site. We have a relatively small site here in our sample site, so we don't have that many assemblies here. But if we had, say, 400 pages in our site, we're going to end up with 400 different assemblies in our bin folder. And that can have an impact on performance. So if you are going to pursue this option, it's probably better that the site is not very large. It does give you quite a bit of flexibility in terms of updating a specific page on the site, with updating both the HTML and the code behind. If you're pretty sure the code behind is going to stay the same, then you would just use the updatable option, and that would allow you to change the UI aspect of the site. So let's go back over to Visual Studio and take a look at the next option. So we'll open up the Publish Website tool again. And this time what we're going to do is use fixed naming and the ability for the site to be updatable. And let me go up to the target directory and just change that to be fixed name updatable. And we'll run the publishing process, and it's pre-compiling our site. And as soon as it's done, we'll go over and take a look. And we'll go up. Let's go over into the output folder. And in this one, it looks similar at the root level again. Got the precompiled app.config. Let's take a look at our default ASPX. And remember when we did the fixed name, single page fixed name, what we had was just a marker. Here we have something very much like when we checked only updatable. We have the full HTML in the ASPX page. And now if we go down into the bin folder, what we see is that we have one assembly corresponding to each of the pages in the site. And what's a little bit different here is that the entire logic for a page, such as default ASPX, is contained in this assembly, because notice we don't have a theme assembly here anymore. So this approach would allow you to change either the HTML by replacing the ASPX page, or you could also change the code behind by redeploying the assembly corresponding to the page. And because you have a single assembly for every page in your site, it has the same limitation that I just talked about previously, in that if you have a large site, you're going to have a lot of assemblies here in the bin folder, and that might have an impact on performance. So let's go back over to Visual Studio. One last thing I'd like to point out on the Publish Web tool, let me go up and open it up, and that is there's a third option here, which you can see is Enable Strong Naming on Precompiled Assemblies. So if you want to strongly name the assemblies that we've seen generated by the publishing tool for your ASP.NET website, you would check this option, use the corresponding key information, and those assemblies would be strongly named. So there's one more thing I'd like to look at, and up to this point we've been using the Publish Website option on the Build menu, and this dialog window is actually a UI front end on a command line utility that's available with ASP.NET to compile an ASP.NET website. So let's go out and take a look at that at the command line. So over here in the command window, the utility is actually called ASP.NET_compiler. And let me just put /?, so we can see the options that are available. There's a number of options here, and one of the distinctions is whether or not the website is located in IIS or it's just a website in a folder. The one we've been using so far is a folder-based website. So the options that we would use if we were to simulate what we did in the dialog window were -V, which is the virtual path of the application, and then also -P, which is the physical path of the application. There are some other options here pertaining to specifying the target directory, as well as the strong naming options you saw in the dialog window. And down here there's the fixed names option, and that corresponds to that checkbox where we specified we wanted fixed names in single page assemblies. So let me scroll down here. Let's run this once so you can see it in action. And I've typed in the command ahead of time. Let me scroll up and get, there's our command. Let me review it. We have the ASP.NET compiler. We're using -V, and we're specifying the website virtual path as being website VB. I should note that I am located in the folder running this command line utility that is the parent folder to all our output folders in the website itself. So virtual root is website VB. The physical path is relative to the current location, and that website folder is called website VB as well. And then we're going to output this precompilation to relative to the current location to deploy command utility folder. So let me run this. Takes just a moment to run, and then when it's done, we'll go over and take a look at the folder output. So over here, it outputted to the deploy command line utility, and if we go in here, this is essentially the same as the first option that we did from the UI dialog window. We have individual files here for our ASPX. If we go in and edit them, they're just markers down to the compiled version of the file, which is down here in the bin folder. We have the compiled output for the different files. we have one assembly corresponding to the website, a second assembly corresponding to the themes. And so that is, in essence, the exact same thing as this deploy batch folder that we ran using the UI dialog window. So this command line utility is another option that you might want to consider if you have to pre-compile your websites. Obviously, the publish website tool is pretty straightforward, and if that meets your needs, that's probably the quickest way to go. But if you need a finer degree of control over the pre-compilation process, then you could use this ASP.NET_compiler command line utility and have that degree of control that you need. Okay, let's go back over to Visual Studio. So we looked at a variety of options to pre-compile your ASP.NET website. Most of the time we use the Publish Website tool up on the Build menu, and then at the end here we looked at the command line utility. As you can see, there's quite a bit of flexibility if you want to pre-compile your ASP.NET website. There are some things to consider, primarily related to whether or not you want to update the site, either the ASPX files, I should say the HTML aspect, the UI aspect of the ASPX files, and or whether or not you want to update the compiled code that is in the code behind files associated with your ASPX pages. So I encourage you to download the sample source code. It's available in VB, which we used here in the video, as well as in C#. This is Chris Pels. Thanks for watching this video on pre-compiling an ASP.NET website. Thank you.